that Lazarus is sick. And of course, they want Jesus to come. And then before Jesus can get there, well, Lazarus dies. And this is a typical story of things that we encounter in our personal lives. Maybe not so much death, but as a result of sickness. But a lot of times, there is severe sickness in our families, and it's what we do when the sickness comes that makes the difference. Now, we discovered that Jesus is not always where the sickness and the death is. And we live lives, and when these things happen, we need to invite him to come. You know, before we go to the doctor, before we go to the drugstore, before we do anything, we need to turn to him and ask him to come and heal whatever sickness or disease it is. But we don't. We don't. And that's a problem with the church today. The church is walking in such a sense of unbelief that they don't reach out and touch the one who can do everything in their lives. We try everything else first, and then when all else fails, then we try Jesus. And that's not the way the kingdom of God works. But I told you last week that if you'll cry out to Jesus, that Jesus will come. Jesus is faithful. He may not come when you want him to, but he'll never be late. And that's something that we need to consider every time we're dealing with a situation and crying out to God. You know, I think we honestly give up before it happens. I think so many times people, church people and, you know, Christians around the world miss their miracles because they give up before the miracle happens. And we need to learn how to stand. Paul talked about standing, standing, standing. After having done everything that you know how to do in the kingdom of God, will stand until it's finished. I mean, if you understand that God will always finish a work he starts. We've got God's word on that, okay? So we need to consider these things. And then I told you that Jesus doesn't always come all the way. He doesn't necessarily always come all the way. There are times in our lives when he wants us to meet with him. And one of the situations was it with Mary and Martha in the house where they lived. That's where Lazarus died. And so all of the world had come there to grieve. And Jesus had to get them out of that situation in order to be able to minister the miracle of resurrection. And many times we find these situations in our lives where we need to separate ourselves for a time until we can see the victory, till we can see the miraculous happen, and not allow the world to pull us back down. And then we need to believe. Jesus told Mary and Martha that he was the resurrection, and we need to believe that. There's absolutely nothing that Jesus cannot do. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, praise God. But we're seated with him in heavenly places, amen? And then if you study Scripture, some of the writings that Paul wrote, Jesus lives within you. I can't draw a picture of all that, how that works. But if the Spirit of God says that, then I believe it. So we need to learn how to depend on Jesus. So let's start in the verse I just kind of quoted, John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus is there, and Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that what? Believes in me. We've got to get in that and get that into our spirit. That's the first thing that we lay hold of, is that we believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We believe in his abilities. We believe in his capacity. We know that there's absolutely nothing that he cannot do. But he that believes in me, even though they were dead, yet shall he live. And Martha replied, Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God. And you see, that's the way we should respond every time, every situation. I believe, Lord. I believe. Now, the promises of God are for us today. There's nothing in Scripture that says that they passed away. And the same promises that Mary and Martha received from Jesus and saw the fulfillment of them are the same promises that we can lay hold of today and see the great things happen as a result of God moving in our lives. And Jesus was there to do something for Mary and Martha. And in the Scripture there, he was telling Martha, today is Resurrection Day. And let me tell you, today is Resurrection Day. 2,000 years later, today is Resurrection Day. Anytime you're dealing with Jesus, anytime that you're believing in his abilities, then it's Resurrection Day. Because Jesus can move. So we've cried out. We cry out to him. We cry out to the reviver to come. And guess what? When we cry out to him, what happens? He comes. And we have to believe that. I think so many times we miss Jesus because we don't believe that he ever comes. We don't believe that he ever hears us. And we need to step beyond into the fullness of what Jesus is going to do. You see, Jesus is already, whatever situation you've got, Jesus has already paid for it on the cross. It's a finished work. All you need to do is connect with him to see it complete in the physical realm. You see, it belongs to you, and it belongs to you because of what Jesus did. Amen? So, Jesus is ready. Amen? Jesus is ready. You know, we've been talking about revival. Let me tell you, Jesus is ready for revival. Jesus has been ready for revival for 2,000 years. Jesus is ready. The question is, are you ready? You see, Jesus is ready this morning to heal. But are you willing to extend your faith? Are you willing to extend by believing that Jesus is going to heal you this morning? Because if you do, Jesus will heal you this morning. Same thing with deliverance. Jesus is the deliverer. He's here this morning. Same thing. You extend your faith and you touch him and you will be set free. And we've got to get this down in our spirit. Jesus is here for salvation this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's here this morning to extend to you an invitation. And all you have to do is by faith receive him into your heart this morning. He's here. We're crying out to him right now. And he's come. He's here right now. And he's ready. So what do we do next? We have his attention. What do we do next? Well, we do exactly what he says. We do exactly what he says. And you see, part of this is going to mean that you need to develop a little hearing. You need to get you some spiritual stuff and get your ears cleaned out so that you can hear the voice of the Father. Because I'm telling you, God will tell you all kinds of things if you'll just listen. And that's the problem. We're so busy doing everything else, we don't ever listen to him. But if we'll listen to him, we'll see great and awesome, miraculous things happen. Because he's ready. He's ready. Let's look at verse 35. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He just got through talking to Mary and Martha about the resurrection. And then it says Jesus wept. Well, why did he cry? What's he crying about? Was he crying because he didn't know whether he was going to be able to do anything because Lazarus had been dead 4 days? Was he crying because death hadn't been defeated yet? What was the purpose in his crying? We see, he was ready to be glorified that day in Lazarus. It wasn't any question of death to him. He was ready to be glorified. What I think he was actually crying over was the unbelief that was present. The unbelief. And I think there's times where we need to weep over the unbelief of people who are Christians. They're not out here in the world. They're not out here, you know, with no knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're not a people out here that, you know, that have never received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But they don't believe. Or if they believe, their belief is very limited. And so I believe that he was weeping because of the unbelief that was present. And then Jesus finally comes to the place of stepping in to reveal his true character as the resurrection in verse 39. Jesus says, "Take away the stone. Take away the stone." One of the greatest opportunities for the miraculous was just spoken. Take away the stone. But what was the first response to that that declaration? "But Jesus, he stinketh." You see, Jesus had talked to Mary and Martha about their unbelief. He even wept over it. And now he stands before death itself and tells the people, "Take away the stone." And you see, there was still fear, there was still unbelief that Jesus wasn't going to be able to do what he said that he would do. In verse 40, Jesus told Martha, "Did I not tell you," repeating it, "did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And I hear those words ringing in my ears for the churches today. Did I not tell you, if you would believe, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. But we can't seem to get over that hedge that blocks us in. And it's time to pull that thing down by just choosing to believe and not move off of what we're believing. I mean, we can do it. We just have to make up our minds on the inside, cause our spirit to rise up in strength and in power and not be moved. We believe. Church, take away the stone. Take away the stone. I'm fixing to loose the resurrection. It's the stone of blindness and unbelief that separates the church from the miraculous. Unbelief and blindness. Take away the stone that's over your heart and trust Jesus. Take it away. The stone of unbelief, the stone of hopelessness, the stone of impossibility, the stone of selfishness. Take it away. Doesn't belong there. So take it away and then stand back and see the glory of God. Amen? And that's what God wants to do here this morning. Disobedience and rebellion are like a cancer that works in the members of the body of Christ. Disobedience and rebellion. And this is what keeps us from walking in the kingdom of God. You see, this is what destroys our life. This is why we do not receive. Because disobedience and rebellion make us double-minded. And James said that a double-minded person will receive nothing from God. And this is the part that we need to deal with. This is the hindrance to our belief. Because we're saying we believe with our mouth, but our heart is saying, "No, I don't. Or maybe I've got a little bit of belief, but not 100%. You see, when you're going to faith something, you got to go whole hog. Is that proper English? I mean, you got to get with it. There's nothing that can be held back. Faith is 100% in you believing. Samuel told King Saul, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And this was back during the sacrificial system that was in place. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And then Jesus told his disciples, he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. How do you keep the word of God? You obey. Amen. You obey. And what happens if you obey? He says, well, my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and reveal ourselves unto him. Is that a benefit of believing? Amen. I mean, if you want to pull God into the situation, just release your belief. And God will come in Christ Jesus. Jesus obeyed the Father, even unto the point of death on the cross. Jesus obeyed the Father in everything, and we are to obey in the same manner. We're to obey, even if it means imprisonment or death. We are to obey the Father. But Jesus, he stinketh. You better wait, Jesus. Don't take that stone away yet, because there's something that hasn't been finished. This is allowing the world's way of trying to look at the spiritual things of God. Here Jesus is telling them, if you get the stone out of the way, I'm going to raise Lazarus. And if Jesus can declare that he's going to raise Lazarus, don't you think he could deal with the stink? I mean, my word, he's going to restore the body of Lazarus. Okay, so it's been in the grave 4 days. It's in that process of decaying. But when Jesus declares something, I mean, it's brought back and made new. So the truth is, I don't think it stunk at all. I think it was just a hindrance to the people in their unbelief. Verse 43. When Jesus had said this to Martha, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. And what happened? Resurrection came forth. Deliverance came forth. Healing came forth. Freedom came forth. Lazarus was free from death, and he was free from the bondage that bound him. Even as he came out of the prison of the grave, he was free. Absolutely free. So what would Jesus say to the church today? Church, come forth. Amen. Come forth. Come out. Come out of this hypocrisy that you abide in. Come out of this apathy that you've been stuck in. Come out of everything that has hindered you from fulfilling your purpose in life. Come out of it. Resurrection and reviving power can come upon your heart this morning if you'll just simply believe and receive it right now. Just receive it right now. Come out. Come out. Shake loose the bondage of the grave clothes that have kept you bound. Shake it loose. Step into the light and live. You see, death has lost its power. Jesus dealt with death over 2,000 years ago. And so when we call on Jesus, in the concept of death, resurrection can come. The reviver has come. He's here. The healer has come. He's here. The deliverer has come. He's here. And God is going to minister to every person because he's come to do a work, a finished work in the church. Finally, in verse 44, the final words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Loose him and let him go. You see, Jesus could have just very simply commanded the bandages that they wrap a dead person in. He could have commanded those bandages to be broken and fall off of him. But he didn't. He told the people to loose him and let him go. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, get in there and begin to minister. Get in there and begin to minister where you're needed. You see, this man has been raised from the dead, but he's still bound up in grave clothes. So loose him. Set him free. Get in there and set him free. Part of our problem is that we're not working with people as a church. Oh yeah, we want to say, oh well, you know, we can heal the sick and we can set the captives free and this, that, and the other. But let me tell you, some of those people are not on the level that we're on. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're going to have to get in there and work with them until they understand. And that's our responsibility, is to help people understand. You know, God has so many people that he wants to put in this church, but they're not going to be the kind of people that we want. Oh, brother. And we've had some taste of it, haven't we, Dave? I mean, we've had some strange people come. But we're going to have to work with these people, not just bless them on Sunday morning and send them on their way. We're going to have to learn how to walk in the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't just loose Lazarus from the confines of the grave and walk away. No, he made sure that he was going to be ministered to in the way that Lazarus needed that ministry. So are you sick this morning? Are you sick in your flesh, physically? Or maybe you're spiritually sick, just sick in your heart. Maybe you're tired of being tired. Amen? Then be loosed in Jesus' name. Just that quick, in the name of Jesus, you can be set free. Are you in bondage this morning? Are you in bondage to any kind of sin? Are you in bondage to habits? That's what we like to call sin, habits. But if it's not bringing glory to God, it's sin. And if it's sin, we need to do away with it. Are you in bondage to doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, or bitterness, or hatred? You in bondage to violence or depression, self-pity, loneliness, or maybe even suicide? Are you in bondage this morning? You in bondage to strife, control, or rebellion? You in bondage to yourself? Did you know we could become ensnared with our own lives? We try to say that we're a Christian and we're doing this and we're doing that, but the truth is we're not. We're pretending. And Jesus called that hypocrites. Hypocrites. How about infirmities? insecurities, shyness, sexual impurities? Are you in bondage to any of these? How about pride, telling lies, vanity, self-centeredness, guilt, self-condemnation? You see, the list goes on and on and on and on. But these are things that can take over our lives, that can take over our minds. And you don't have to be in bondage to these things any longer. You can be set free. Same thing with apathy. You can be set free from apathy this morning. You don't have to let that rule your life. You can come back to the place where you make the decisions based on the Word of God, instead of allowing yourself to be controlled by the ways and the timing of the world. You have a life, and it's in Christ. It's not in this world. And we need to wake up and recognize that we don't belong to this world anymore. Jesus said we're going to have to stay here and live in it, but we don't belong to it anymore. And the only way that you can do that is by starting today, making choices that is going to deliver you out of the mindset that you've been involved in. And so many of the things I just mentioned cause these mindsets. About resentment. About perverted thoughts. Man, you can't watch a movie, you can't watch a TV show, you can't pick up a book, you can't pick up a magazine, you can't put anything before your eyes that there's not some kind of perversion that the world is peddling. And all of this stuff wants to go into your mind. Well, we have the ability in Christ Jesus to take every thought captive in obedience to His Word and then cast it down. And it's high time that we start living like that instead of letting the world take over and control our lives. Walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. And Jesus, the Deliverer, wants to set you free this morning. Amen? So stand up where you're sitting. One of the most powerful forms of deliverance is declaring your intent in Jesus' name. We can call it a confession. We can call it a prayer. We call it whatever we want to, but literally we're speaking to the sin. We're speaking to the areas of bondage in our lives, declaring that we're no longer going to be in bondage to these things, and we're going to walk in freedom. So I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you looking around at anybody else. If you're too close to somebody and you don't want them to hear something that you're going to say, well, then move. Get someplace else. Don't let this become a hindrance to you, because you need to walk through this thing this morning. That's what Jesus did. He just simply led them down a pathway to resurrection. And that's what we're going to do this morning, is lead you down a pathway to resurrection. So with every eye closed, I want you to just reach out to Jesus right now. We're crying out to Him right now. And I want you to repeat after me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and my Savior. I believe that my inheritance includes deliverance over powers of darkness, and I now state my declaration, my desire, and my intention to be free in Jesus' name. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I confess the sin, and then just name it. Whatever it is, just name it. you know, just declare it. I'm taking authority over this sin right now. And once you name it, just say this: I renounce it. I refuse it. I reject it in Jesus' name. I close every door that I have ever opened to the devil through these sins. I now take back any ground that I have ever given to the devil, and I give it to Jesus. I am a child of God, and I choose for my life the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I agree with everyone present in this room that Jesus can deliver me, and I commit myself to claim and receive my deliverance right now, right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I praise you that I have been delivered from the powers of darkness, and I have been translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you that in Christ Jesus that I have died, and in Jesus I now live. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that as Jesus is in this world today, so am I. And I claim all that he is right now in Jesus' name. I agree with Calvary's victory. And by faith, I update that victory through this moment and my situations. Thank you, Lord, for the now victory. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ and all that he did over myself and over those standing around me. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for delivering me and setting me free this day. Hallelujah. I give the Lord a praise.